The Business Travel Podcast, brought to you by the Business Travel Magazine.
Hi, my name is Beverly Ferris and I'm the editor of the Business Travel Magazine. And I'd like to welcome you to our latest Business Travel Podcast. This week, we are launching our annual service department guide in conjunction with the Association of Service Department Providers, otherwise known as ASAP. And I am delighted to be chatting today to its chief executive, James Foyce. Hi, James.
Hi, Bev. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Really good. Thank you. Really good. And thanks very much for having me.
No, not at all. I'll just tell the listeners that you're in a lovely new garden office. Very nicely painted and some beautiful pictures on the wall. And it's a lovely sunny day to show with the view of the garden, which is very nice.
The advantage is you can't see my Christmas beard either on a podcast. it's really nice. It's cold outside, but really warm in here. So thank you again.
I think the beard should stay. It suits you. I'm liking the beard. So as I said, we've got the guide coming out this week, which we've been we've worked in conjunction with you guys. Let's just find out a bit more about ASAP first of all. What is ASAP? What's your role, and who are your members, and what does ASAP membership actually mean?
Okay, that's where to start? Right, my role. Let's start with me. So I'm James Foyce, as you very kindly introduced me. I'm the CEO of the ASAP, the Association of Service Department Providers. We've been around since 2002, servicing and supporting the needs of our members predominantly. So we were formed on the basis of the service department industry growing, and it was natural progression that the industry, as it grew, had a representative body that sort of looked out for its interests. So that's how we were formed. That was 20 years ago, as I say. So I got involved now 11 years ago to bring together the differentiation, really. That's probably the best way to say it, the differentiation of the sector. So as it's developed, as routes to market have become easier to use, that's encouraged, as we all know. We write a lot about it, around the risks that might be out there for those choosing accommodation. So our work is primarily around differentiating professionally run service department organisations from those very risks that we spend a lot of time looking at. So that's really the background. That's what we're trying to do. And it keeps us busy. Much of what we're doing is talking to the business travel world, representing the views of our members, as I say, differentiation, best practice. And one of the things I'm sure we'll talk about, which is accreditation and the importance of not only being able to demonstrate the difference between professionally run organisations and those that perhaps aren't, but how do you present that externally to the buyer so they know? And we, as you probably know, have supported accreditation all the way through our evolution. In fact, we introduced one of the first accreditation products to the sector, to the service department sector. And I know we'll talk about it, but we've just recently let that go to a third party now who will be operating it on our behalf. So it's really an exciting time. And I think, you know, as the sector grows, as it develops, as it becomes more recognisable, we find ourselves getting busier and busier representing those views. So tell
me more about the what's happened with the accreditation. You've offloaded to a third party. What was the reason for that?
It's a really good question, because when we introduced accreditation, it was there was really not very much out there in terms of differentiating and presenting accredited organisations, as I keep saying. So we implemented it. We designed it. My background was around accreditation within the hospitality network. So I had quite a lot of understanding within the hotel world around how to present the product from a qualitative perspective. So my first responsibility within the association 10 years ago was to implement a form of accreditation that allowed us to be confident that those that we represented were doing the job properly as much as anything, and we could present that, turn that around and present it externally. So as we grew and as that grew, more and more organizations were interested in supporting it. We actually, at its peak, got accreditation into 27 countries around the world. So clearly there was demand for it. But from a not-for-profit representative trade association's perspective, there's potentially a conflict of interest in messaging the importance, and from an impartial perspective, that's the key, messaging the importance of professionally run serviced accommodation and delivering the only solution that will allow you to recognize specific products. And we felt as this grew and more competition came into the space that it was that conflict of interest. And as so many of us have talked about, you know, we were finding the potential was to be marking our own homework. And that's something as the Impartial Trade Association, we couldn't do. So just last year, about this time last year, we went out to the industry to see if anyone was interested in acquiring it. And we had 8 expressions of interest from organisations that wanted to know more. Obviously, not all of them were interested in necessarily taking it on. But we did. And a company called Global Secure Accreditation was successful in that process and acquired it in September of 2021. So it now sits with them entirely. We're great supporters of the work that Global Secure GSA do. They're, as you will know, they're very firmly in the space of recognizing and delivering accreditation products, but not from a representative perspective. So they're not challenged with marking their own homework effectively. So they can get on and do it as to the best of their ability and help grow it, invest in it, which is, of course, what it needed. So that was the decision we made. It was the right decision. And now it allows ASAP to stand back, take a bit more of a holistic view over the sector and recognize potentially other organizations that offer accreditation as well. So it's an exciting time.
Excellent. So what you mentioned also that you'd work with closely with the corporate travel managers and buyers and TMCs in the industry. What are you working on at the moment? What do you actually do with them?
Well, we implemented about 2 years ago, we implemented a forum whereby we were inviting those that had influence over buying predominantly service department accommodation from the agent community, the TMC community, the buyers themselves, from representative trade associations in that space, such as the BTA, GBTA, ITM. And we welcomed them to the table. And it's fortunately, if we can thank COVID for anything, it's allowed us to do exactly these sorts of things, Bev, which means we can be anywhere in the world and we can jump on a Zoom, time permitting, and we can have a conversation. Now, nothing is as good as being face to face. We recognize that. But what it does do is allowed us to develop these forums, these conversational forums. And they've been incredibly interesting because there was clearly an appetite from the buyer. And I say generally when I talk about the buyer, so those representing the buyers right through to the buyers, to come and understand a bit more about what it was our members were doing. Conversely, on the other side of the table, if you want to call it that, we were presenting our accredited members to the buyers forum. And the opportunity was to say, here is a curated group of professionally run service department operators in many markets around the world, understand a bit more about what they're doing, what they can do for you, and let's use routes to market such as the agent community, the TMC community, anyone else that has a vested interest in orchestrating and making that transaction simpler would be welcome to join the conversations. But of course they would have to, in our ability to promote that differentiation, it was important that they too represented our views. And there was a simple framework of code of conduct, which was about professionally run organizations representing health and safety policies, representing those that were providing necessary insurances. And of course, on the back of all of these conversations, we know now that the ISO 31030 standard was being launched. So it made a great opportunity for us to bring them together with the framework, the ISO framework, which was talking about safety, due diligence, duty of care, responsibility within the travel world. And our buyers forums have grown on the back of that, because what they've done now is we've aligned the dialogue around much of what ISO is talking about, much of what the corporate travel world are clearly demonstrating as being important in their decision-making factors, such as safety, duty of care, which has always been paramount. But of course, other things like sustainability, DE&I, and all of these agendas we are adopting and working towards within the buyers forum. So it's about aligning our efforts within the entire business travel ecosystem. It's interesting and it's developing really nicely.
Do you think there is much more awareness now and willingness for corporates to look at service apartments as an accommodation option? you know, everyone's talked about how in a way the service apartment sector has been one of the sectors that's perhaps benefited from the new demands and needs of travellers in the, you know, since the pandemic started. How have things changed? What do you see happening in the next few years?
That's the crystal ball question, isn't it? And it's really difficult to answer. But what we can look at is what's happened over the last 2 years. And I think that's fascinating, because whilst the hospitality, certainly in the UK, the hospitality industry, the more conventional hospitality industry, has been on its knees. Much of it has closed, couldn't operate. But of course, there were essential workers needing to stay in accommodation. And there were loss of insurance, loss adjusters that were traveling around assessing damage to property, and they needed accommodation. And through all of that period, the service department sector did reasonably well. Now, I'm sure there's going to be many of my members that will slate me for suggesting such a thing, but many of them did do quite well. And I think on average occupancy during that period was at least 50 to 55%, which far exceeded much of the hotel and other conventional means. So I think that that speaks for itself in its own right. And I think the other thing that we've all understood is service department accommodation provides a great deal more flexibility for the traveller in terms of potential space that might be available, less restricted operating times for hotels such as restaurants or bars, or you have to fit into a protocol. The service department doesn't restrict one's style of living and so forth. So we think definitely that the apartment world is going to fare better over the next few years. And what we have seen, certainly from my perspective, we've been approached significantly over the last few months, really, by the bigger brands, those hotel brands that are watching our industry with great interest and seeing what the investment opportunities are. And of course, we've seen it. There are part hotels. That's what's happened. That's the growth of the industry and the more recognised brands getting in this space. But I think that will grow. It'll grow quite significantly over the next few years. And, you know, be under no illusion that this will filter out some of the operators that perhaps were struggling prior to COVID. In every aspect of business, it will have done that. But I don't hear many organisations telling me at the moment that they're not interested in investing or interested in growing, and their aspirational plans are back on track. And we're just about to launch a sentiment survey in conjunction with our partner Savile. The output of that's going to be very interesting, because that's a real gauge at the beginning of the year how well our members feel that they're going to do, our members and the industry feel that they're going to do. So that's coming as well.
Mm. So there's a feature actually within the guide which talks about the developments in the pipeline, the openings this year, and there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of new apartments opening, new projects coming online. So it's certainly a very vibrant and dynamic industry, as you say. So if I was a travel buyer and I was considering making service apartments part of my accommodation program, or increasing that side of my program, how should I start? What should I do? What would your advice be to a buyer?
Well, there's a number of different routes to service apartments. And I think we've been criticised over the years that they're notoriously difficult to book. And I get that. And I think we as a sector completely understand that. But our agents, the agents that represent the service department worlds, do a fantastic job of presenting the products to the buyers. And I would certainly urge, I'm not going to name anyone's particular, there are many of them out there that all do a fantastic job, and certainly have the conversations with them in the first instance. Look at what's available, look at the markets that they operate in. But the caveat that I would put on all of this all the time is try to use where you possibly can an organization that's gone through the various protocols that we encourage, such as accreditation, code of conduct checks, joining representative bodies, trade associations, because at least there is some recourse there. But if you've heard me talk about it for years, the number of times we get contacted by travellers who are arriving in different markets in the world saying to us, what are you going to do? We see you as the regulatory body. What are you going to do? This place doesn't exist. And I've spent thousands of pounds with them. It's heartbreaking hearing those stories. And I know within the business travel world, very rarely does that happen. But what does happen is disappointment. Products are not as expected necessarily. Apartment offerings aren't as they were presented to the buyer. And in many cases, apartments may have been moved. So it's about that open dialogue, that honesty, that conversation, and the relationship developing. And I think that's a really important part of what we're trying to promote here. It's not necessarily about being an ASAP member, but it's about standing for those values in different markets around the world, partnering with another trade association, which we do, and just understanding what it is and how you can be sure that that organization offers a professionally presented product.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to me today. As I said, the Service Department Guide in conjunction with ASAP is out this week, so please check it out. And I'm sure if anyone wants to find anything else about ASAP, James is contactable in his new garden office.
In my new garden office.
There'll be some contact details, I'm sure, in the guide. So enjoy the guide, everybody. Thank you again, James, for talking with me today. And looking forward to seeing you in person again soon.
Yeah, thanks ever so much, Bev. And thank you for everything you're doing. It's a great pleasure working with you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
The Business Travel Podcast, brought to you by the Business Travel Magazine.